Hello and welcome to the Naturally Creative Podcast, the podcast that reminds us that we are all naturally creative and that creativity is not the reserve of professional artists. I'm your host, Melody Galton, and this is episode one. In today's episode, I want to look at what we mean by the term creative and who gets to decide what and who we consider creative, and by extension, what and who we consider valuable. I want you to take a moment to think about what comes to mind when you hear the word creative. What sprung to mind? For me, a creative is someone who is inspired and acts upon that inspiration to make or do something in a novel way. They might be called inventive or original, talented even. They are likely to be recognised and praised for their work and their skill. But if this is the benchmark of a creative, where does that leave us? What does it mean for those of us who wouldn't say that we are necessarily artistically gifted and want to express ourselves? What does it mean for those of us who maybe do have some skill in the eyes of others, but not the desire or means to publicly make it known? I want you to step back in time with me and come with me for a moment to ancient Greece. Just like the Romans are said to have significantly affected and changed the Western world, the ancient Greeks are influential in how we now think. And I believe that when it comes to our creativity, our current understanding is somewhat shaped by the muses of the ancient Greek mythology. So, who were these muses? The muses were goddesses, specialists in various disciplines such as art and music, who were said to provide inspiration to writers, artists, musicians, and so on. They themselves performed to entertain the gods. They also supposedly had the power to both give and take away creative talent. You could therefore call them the gatekeepers of creativity, deciding who had talent and who didn't. For the humble artist, then, it was essential that you please the muses, honouring them in your work in order to produce anything of value. If you didn't honour them in your work, you didn't please them, then you risk losing favour and your skills. Isn't this something that persists in our own view of creativity? The creative, so often for us, is someone who is divinely gifted, inspired and chosen by the gods of our society. Whilst we don't necessarily hold to the religious beliefs of the ancient Greeks, we do still function in artistic hierarchies. Creators are deemed worthy by the powers that be, such as gallery curators, judging panels, or publishing houses. And then, and only then, can someone's work be shown to the general public. But who gets to decide what is worthy of being considered creative? And does something being on display in a gallery, on a stage, or in a library make it somewhat superior to work that is not shown and publicised? I want to share with you the story of someone whose work cannot be found inside a gallery and wouldn't be considered professionally made, yet inspires and captures the minds of many people today. That man is known as the Facteur Cheval, a 20th century French postman who built a palace made of stones and pebbles he collected on his postal route, his so-called Palais Idéal. He would walk around 30 kilometres on his rural postal route, which was a hilly and arduous one, and one day he quite literally stumbled upon a stone. He decided that that stone was so unusual in its shape that he would keep it and admire it. This stone reminded him of a dream he had had 15 years earlier, in which he had built a palace. So, collecting further stones on his postal route, he set about building his palace in his garden, alone, often at night, for 33 years. The results are phenomenal. Have a look for yourself by searching online Ideal Palace of Facteur Cheval. You're spelling Facteur Cheval as in the words fact and then E-U-R and Cheval, C-H-E-V-A-L. It's something akin to a giant sandcastle with biblical references, quotes chiselled into the wall, animal structures, and miniature versions of different buildings. This man's job title was not artist. He was by no means professionally trained, and yet he created something that he found beautiful and important. In an English translation of his diary, we get this. I myself too considered that I was crazed, a madman. I was not a mason. I had never touched a trowel. A sculptor who did not know a chisel. As for architecture, I shall not speak of it. I had never studied it. I never spoke of my dream to anyone, for fear of being ridiculed, and I thought I was just as ridiculous myself. It's not clear to us his exact motivations for building this palace, other than having a desire to create and to demonstrate sheer human willpower. One inscription in his palace reads, "By creating this rock, I wanted to prove what will can do." This non-artist created something extraordinary, by himself and for himself. He expressed himself despite fear of ridicule, which did come from his neighbours. How often do we limit ourselves in these ways? Thinking that because we can, quote-unquote, not draw a horse, that we are not an artist and should therefore put down our pens and pencils. Or that because we cannot hold a tune, we are not a musician. Wouldn't we all do better to follow by Factor Chaval's example and just create, aware perhaps of our limitations, but not limited by them? Some have classified Factor Chaval's work as art brut, which is art done by non-artists. Again, a label which begs the question, who is a creative? Who is an artist? It would seem all of us. Whilst we may not all have the determination and dream of the Factor Chaval to create something of the same magnitude, I have no doubt that we all have artistic impulses, desires to express ourselves in ways that are unique to us, that tell our story. It might not be about making something, but rather seeing a stone and viewing it as a thing of beauty, a thing of potential. It could be trying to see your everyday life from a different perspective, experimenting with your commute, where you go, how you get from A to B, what you do during it. It might be experimenting with food, not necessarily making the same dishes all the time, but trialling different combinations of ingredients. It could be anything. For myself, as a private French and German teacher, creativity looks like experimenting with different ways of teaching vocabulary and grammar, trialling ideas, sometimes using a technique I've read about or seen as a student myself, other times just trying an idea that's popped into my head. I don't per se have a creative job, but I seek to try new things and to explore what encourages and inspires my students, who themselves have such varied lives and different experiences. This is the beauty of creativity, giving voice and space to ourselves and one another, regardless of perceived skill or talent. Creativity is accessible to and innate in us all. It needn't be about acceptance or validation from others for what we do, but just freely expressing yourself in whatever way you desire. I'm Melody Galton. Thank you for listening, and remember, we are all naturally creative. Please don't let anyone tell you otherwise.